Welcome to Torah Timech Hanach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Shalvi Friedman, and today we'll be studying Sefer Yeshayahu Perek Lamed Vav, the 36th Perek. We're about to enter into a couple prakim of narrative. These are some of the only few narratives in the entire Sefer Iyov, and we're going to leave behind the dense poetry of the Sefer and talk about the time of Chizkiyahu in a narrative form. The stories that we're going to read appear in three places in Tanakh. They appear here, in Prakim Lamed Vav onwards. They also appear in Malachim Beis and also in Divrei Hayamim. And each of those three have slight differences. And really, to tell the entire story of Chizkiyahu and the Assyrian threat, you need all three sources as well as pieces of Torah Shebaal Peh, which put together the entire picture. So what we're going to try do together today is learn through the Perek with the help of Malachim Beis and Divrei Hayamim, as well as the Mefarshim here, a little bit of the Gemaras, and together try get a sense of what's really going on. The background to the story is as follows. We know that the Assyrians had successfully run three separate exiles of the people of the north, and in three different stages, they have destroyed, cut down, and exiled the Malchus Yisrael. And really, there's an understanding already now amongst the people of Yehuda that their end is just a matter of time. And we know, because we know the end of the story, that it's not the Assyrians who bring about the destruction of Yehuda, but it's going to be the Babylonians afterwards. But definitely there's still an understanding that things are going downhill for Yehuda, things are not looking good. And this question of can we even salvage what's left is going to be really the question of Chizkiyahu's life. Can he save the day or can't he? And so we're told in Pasuk Aleph, Vayhi ba'bar esrei shana lemelech Chizkiyahu, it was the 14th year of Chizkiyahu, ala Sancherev melech Ashur al era Yehuda, habetzurot v'yitpasem. He comes and besieges the fortified cities of Yehuda and he captures them. What do we know about Chizkiyahu? From the book of Yeshayahu, we know that Chizkiyahu is incredibly great. He's described in terms which make the Mefarshim think he could have been Mashiach, and indeed the Gemara says he could have been Mashiach. He is a righteous person, but the actual acts of Chizkiyahu are not known to us from Yeshayahu. They are told to us in the books of Divrei Hayamim and Malachim. The book of Malachim details for us Chizkiyahu's righteousness, how he manages to remove all of the idol worship that his father Ahaz had put into Yerushalayim, and he really creates a renaissance of spiritual awakening, and the details of which are spoken about in Malachim. Divrei Hayamim tells us how Chizkiyahu anticipates Ashur's impeding battle, and he prepares for war. He has all of these military advancements which take place in his lifetime. The other thing that happens in Malachim is that Chizkiyahu removes the doors of the Beis HaMikdash to give them as a tax to Sancheriv, the king of the Assyrians. And the Gemara discusses whether or not that was a good thing, that he removed the doors. But ultimately, the way the Malbim reads it is that his act of removing the doors in order to appease the Assyrian king and to give taxes was so that he could focus on what he did in Divrei Hayamim, which is prepare the military and prepare for battle. And so our Perek opens up, at least according to the Malbim, at the point that Sancheriv finds out that despite stopping him, if you will, with the gifts of the doors of the Beis HaMikdash, Chizkiyahu is also preparing an army, and he's furious. So what does he do? Pasuk Beis tells us, V'yishlach melech Ashur et Rav Shakeh milachish Yerushalayma. Sancheriv sends Rav Shakeh, who is his officer, out to Yerushalayim, el melech Chizkiyahu b'chel kaved to Chizkiyahu, v'ya'amod b'ta'alat habrecha ha'elyona b'mesilat zdeh ha'koves. And Rav Shakeh goes and he encounters Chizkiyahu's people at the water source of the entire city. So the event of Rav Shakeh with the officers of Chizkiyahu is something we've hinted to in a couple of different places throughout the poetry of Yeshayahu, and now we're talking about the story directly. Also, the place where Rav Shakeh goes to, this water source, Ta'alat HaBrecha, is exactly where Yeshayahu himself goes to speak to Chizkiyahu's father Ahaz. If you recall all the way back in Perek Zayin, Ahaz is a wicked king, and Yeshayahu goes out with his son to the water source in order to tell Ahaz that he should do teshuvah, which he ultimately doesn't do. And the water source is a very important symbol here. It's important for Rav Shakeh because the water source represents life force. It represents security, water to the people. And by speaking to them and talking about their destruction at the water source, essentially what he's saying is that you have no security and you're going to die. And one of the words that keeps being repeated in his speech, the speech of Rav Shakeh, is the word bitachon, safe. You're not safe. And the water source kind of reinforces that. For us, however, the water source has a different implication. It's meant to remind us of Achaz, and it's meant to remind us that just as Achaz was told not to be afraid, that Hashem would protect him, and he didn't listen, Chizkiyahu is listening to that message, and therefore he doesn't actually need to be afraid. So on the one hand, we have Rav Shakeh saying, you have no security, you have no bitachon. On the other hand, we have an understanding, based on our reading of the entire Sefer of Yeshayahu, that there is a lot of bitachon going on, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is really going to keep them safe. And so Chizkiyahu's messengers go out to meet Rav Shakeh. Vayetze alav Eliakim ben Chilkiyahu, asher al habayis, v'shevna hasofer, v'yoach ben Asaf hamazgir. Different people come up. And you may recall that we spoke about Shevna having a rebellion against Chizkiyahu. This seems to be before the rebellion. And Shevna now is definitely a supporter, it's at least according to the Pshat, a supporter of Chizkiyahu. Sukkim Dalet to Yod tell us the speech that Rav Shakeh is going to give to the people standing over there. He's standing on the wall right by the water source and he is mocking them. Vayomer Alehem Rav Shakeh. And Rav Shakeh says to them, Imru na el Chizkiyahu. Why don't you go out and tell Chizkiyahu? Ko amar hamelech hagadol melech Asher. Thus says the big king, the king of Asher, implying that you, Chizkiyahu, are the little king, the not important king. Ma habitachon hazeh asher batachta. What are you relying on? And once again, we're saying, he's using this word bitachon. He's saying, what were you thinking? That you were secretly planning a rebellion against me and preparing military, as we read in Divrei Hayamim. Pasuk Hey, Amarti, I said to myself, Ach dvar sefatayim etza ugvur lemilchama. Maybe your plan for war is dvar sefatayim, matters of the lips, which the Radak understands is tefillah. Maybe the only thing you're relying on is your prayers to God, because compared to the Syrian army, anything you do doesn't stand a chance. The Malbim reads it as Dvar Sfatayim means acts of your lips is the taxes that you were giving. And everything that you were giving and the presents and all of the, everything you were doing was just lip service, because really you intend to fight against me. Ata almi batachta ki maradetabi. Who are you relying on that you're rebelling against me? And Rav Shakeh continues, and he says, it could be one of two things. Either perhaps you're relying on human beings. Who would you possibly be relying on? Maybe Egypt, because Egypt hasn't yet been conquered by Sanherev. And therefore, if you are relying on Egypt, then you must know that it's like relying on a splintered staff. Mishenet hakaneh haratzot hazel Mitzrayim. If you're relying on it, then what happens when you put your hand on it? Uba bekapo unakava. It'll splinter you. It's going to hurt you. Don't rely on Egypt, because they're unreliable and they're going to betray you. And if it's not Egypt that you're relying on, v'chi tomar elayin, if you say to me, El Hashem Elokeinu batachnu, we're relying on Hashem. He says there's absolutely no way you could be relying on God. Why? You have to remember where the Syrians are coming from. The Assyrians are pagans, and pagans believe in multiple gods, and they think the very best thing you can do for the gods is worship all of the gods. And therefore, when they watch Chizkiyahu destroying the Bamos and destroying the places of idol worship throughout Yerushalayim, they believe that this is the most offensive thing you can do to a god. And therefore, it cannot even begin to enter their minds that this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. So they say, if you are relying on Hashem, hello, who Asher Isir Chizkiyahu bamotav, ves misbechotav, Chizkiyahu took away this God's places of idol worship. Why would he protect you? You are in big trouble, Chizkiyahu, because Hashem is really angry because you removed the paganistic places of idol worship from Yerushalayim. And Pasuk Yud, he says, Va'ata, and now, Habilade Hashem aliti ala aretz hazot lahashchita. Do you think Hashem, if you think Hashem's going to save, you think Hashem isn't the one who let me come up and conquer you? The fact that I've destroyed all of Shomron, and the fact that I've coming up here and I'm standing right at the brink of Yerushalayim, you think that's not from Hashem? Hashem amar elai, ala ala aretz hazot vashchita. Hashem told me to come to this land, Hashem told me to destroy it. And there's two ways of understanding this. Perhaps maybe he actually believes this. He believes that this is a divine calling, that Hashem is calling him to destroy the people of Yerushalayim because they have destroyed the Bamos. Or you can see it as he's playing on their emotions. And he's very clearly playing on their emotions here. He's trying to undermine them entirely, which is why Pasuk Yud Aleph, you imagine all of the advisors of Chizkiyahu are hearing these words of Rav Shakeh. And what's their response? Vayomer Eliakim v'shavnake v'yoach al Rav Shakeh. They turn to Rav Shakeh and they say, Diber na al avadech aramit. Please stop speaking Lashon HaKodesh. Speak aramit. because we understand Aramit, but al tadaber aleinu yehudit, but don't speak the language of the Jews, because everyone else is hearing you and you're making everybody scared. You're embarrassing Chizkiyahu and you're terrifying everyone. So can you please speak in a different language so they don't understand? And here we see that the advisors of Chizkiyahu are missing the entire point. Rav Shakeh is speaking in a language that the Hamon Am, the masses, understand. And he's speaking loudly. And he's doing this intentionally. He wants them to understand because he wants to undermine them. He wants to frighten the people. That's his whole goal. We have to realize that part of his plan is that it's cheaper to fight a war when there's a collapse from the inside than a collapse from the outside. It's much cheaper, it's easier, it's quicker, it's far more effective when you create a lack of security from the inside, and therefore people will be far more willing to work with you. And that's what Rav Shakeh tells him. He's very straightforward about it. He says in Pasuk Yud Beis, he says, Ha'el Adonecha ve'elecha shalachani Adoni, do you think I'm here to speak to you and to speak to your master, meaning to Chizkiyahu? Do you think I'm here to speak to the people in charge? I'm not. Halo al ha'anashim ha'yoshvim ala choma. I am talking to these people, all of the masses, because they're going to come le'echol et tzo'atam ve'lishtot et meimei raglehem imachem. Because if they don't get their act together and concede and let Asher take control, then they're going to land up eating their own feces and drinking their own urine. And here there's a ketiv and a kri. It's written one way and it's read a different way. The words we read are tso'a ed mei raglayim, which means feces and urine. But the words that are written in the text are rude, vulgar, inappropriate words to describe those two bodily functions. In other words, he's cursing, he's speaking in a crass way, and he's jeering at the people and threatening them and essentially saying, if you don't watch out, you're going to land up starving and you're going to have to eat your own body byproducts. And vayamod Rav Shakeh vayikra b'kol gadol, and he stands up and he speaks dafka in Yehudit, in the language of the people, and he says, Shim'u es divrei ha-melech ha-gadol melech Asher. Yo, everyone, listen up to the words of Asher. And he says, Chizkiyahu can't save you. Va'al yivtach etchem Chizkiyahu al Hashem le'mor hitzil yatzilenu Hashem. Chizkiyahu promises you Hashem is going to save you. He's not going to save you. He won't at all. Don't listen to Chizkiyahu. But if you choose to listen to the King Asher, then you will have bracha. Utzu elai v'ichlu ish gafno v'ish te'enato ushtu ish et meboro. If you come out, and here what he's saying essentially is that I'll displace you, I'll put you somewhere else. And a lot of the references in the story here matches very in a very eerie way to, you know, 1939, 1940, 1941 in Eastern Europe. But here he's saying, if you choose to leave, then I will take you to a new land, and you will have work there, and you will have dignity, and you will have your own homes, and you'll have your own water. I'll take you to a land which is similar to the land you're living in now. Eretz Dagan v'tirosh, a land where there's wheat and there is food. Eretz Lechem u'kramim, it's a land of bread and vineyards. And one of the things that Rav Shakeh is doing, and again, our enemies do this, not just Asher, but other parts of our enemies, he's tapping into their cultural and religious beliefs. The words te'ena v'gefen, eretz dagan v'tirosh, recall to us sukkim from Chumash. And that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to entice them using these biblical words in order to make them feel comfortable. He says, come, leave Yerushalayim. I'll move you to a new place. Everything will be fine. You'll have work. You'll have dignity. Just come with us. And Rav Shakeh continues and he says, because pretty much Asher has had 100% success rate until now. Me, b'chol elokei ha'artzos ha'ele asher etzilu es artza miyadi. None of the other gods have managed to save them from my hands. Ki hitzil Hashem is Yerushalayim miyadi. You think Hashem is going to save you? And one of the lands he's referring to is Shomron. And who is the god of the Shomron? Also HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's saying God didn't save the people of Shomron. None of the gods saved none of the lands, and you too will be destroyed by Asher. And we're told, Vayicharishu v'lo anu oto davar. And everybody is silent. No one responds to Rav Shakeh. Ki mitzvas ha-melech hi le'mor lo ta'anuhu. Because Chizkiyahu has commanded them not to respond and not to get into a debate with Rav Shakeh. Vayavu el Yakim ben Chizkiyahu asher el habayis v'shevna ha-sofer v'yoach ben Yosef ha-mazkir. All of these people, the messengers of Chizkiyahu, they go to Chizkiyahu. Ukra'ei begadim, and they tear their clothes. V'yagidu lo es divrei Rav Shakeh, and they tell him the words of Rav Shakeh. And the tearing of the clothes is important. The Malbim explains that they're tearing their clothes not because they're scared of Rav Shakeh, because they're not, they have bitachon. They're tearing their clothes because HaKadosh Baruch Hu has been blasphemed, because there's been a tremendous chilul Hashem in the words of Rav Shakeh, and they're incredibly distressed to see that Hashem is mocked, Hashem is made fun of, and his people is made fun of in the words of Rav Shakeh. And our story will continue in the next perek tomorrow. Thank you for learning with me today. Our learning today was sponsored L'Refua Shalema L'Yonina Sima Bas Daphne Hinda Jennifer Hayakara Shelano U'Lepitzu'e Tzahal Achenu Hayakarim B'Toch Sha'ar Chole Yisrael Nina V'Chaim Shenka.